100 financial organisations, including banks, insurers and financial advisers and the non-profit sector, have joined a plan to demystify money and enhance the financial literacy and capability of the public. The National Strategy for Financial Capability is being launched at Parliament today. It's led by the Commission for Financial Capability, which has been in talks with people across the sector for the last 6 months. One of the first orders of business will be to get rid of jargon and replace it with clear, accessible messages. Jane Wrightson is the Retirement Commissioner and the head of the Commission for Financial Capability. She says there will be a focus on women, Māori and Pacifica. She is in the Wellington studio with me. Ata Marie, welcome.
Ata Marie, Catherine.
So who have you been talking to and about what?
We have been talking to the representatives of the major financial institutions in the country. We've been talking to the people who work out on the coalface, the budget advisory services. We've started conversations with iwi, but barely. And we've been talking to some of the people in the public sector who work in the FinCap space as well, particularly people like MSD and latterly Pacific Peoples. What we wanted to find out was there any point in trying to pull together what is a huge amount of work being done that seemed to me to be utterly disconnected? And everybody said, to my great surprise, yes, absolutely, we're very unconnected and we don't talk to each other and we don't share information and there's work to do here. And so, therefore, the new national strategy was born. The old national strategy, which was launched in 2015, was focused in effect on the team of 5 million, the behaviour change stuff. And I looked at that and thought, we can't deliver on that, not without, you know, multi-million dollars and very large offices and major campaigns and the rest of it. You just can't do it. So the point of a national strat, any kind of NAT strat, in my view, has to be really focused. And it became, the light bulb moment was when we thought, actually, we're not focusing on the people proper, we're focusing on the people who deliver the sector. And if we can bind them together in a way that frames their FinCap work, then the rest of the population, we hope, will benefit.
So what is it that is disconnected at the moment? Is it things like how to speak in plain language?
Absolutely, that was one of the core things. There are three goals in the strategy that you referred to: consistent content, work together and demystify money. And the consistent content stuff came up over and over again. People get confused. The industry and sector itself works in silos. And so they don't mean necessarily to be confusing and contradicting each other, but it just happens when you're not connected. So what we want to do at the beginning is try and create a broad industry accepted glossary of terms. This was done at the beginning of KiwiSaver. So when KiwiSaver started, there was lots of talk, lots of confusing messaging, lots of misunderstandings of terms, and that glossary that was developed then, with a lot of talking and agreeing and wordsmithing and arguing, became status quo standard stuff, and that's what we'd like to see in financial capability.
In what situations you're trying to get a bank loan, you're trying to renegotiate a bank loan, what are the sorts of circumstances where the jargon causes confusion or causes people to feel intimidated?
It's largely about understanding what words mean. And for those who aren't trained in this space, so, you know, put the accountants away, for instance, and put a number of people with tertiary education out of the way. People don't necessarily understand the difference between, an investment account and a savings account. And that was very obvious around COVID, when there was the big panic around KiwiSaver, when people saw their balance dropping. And large numbers of New Zealanders started to ring and call and move their accounts, not understanding that fluctuations are normal because they hadn't seen it in the previous 10 years. So really, it's quite basic. But if you make it basic in plain English, it's helpful. And to be fair, the industry itself has got much better at that in recent times. But there's still work to do.
So things like the concept of compounding interest, do you change what compounding interest is?
You don't change it, but you explain how it works.
Right.
And simply. You explain how it works simply and consistently across the sector.
So how big will the glossary be?
Well, good glossaries are quite short. I'm unconvinced that we'll manage short, but we'll see how we go.
And then this will be in the banks, the insurance companies, the finance organisations' own paperwork, own documents. There will be consistency across all of them. What about those government departments like MSD?
Really hope that it gets picked up there, absolutely, because these are the areas where I think we can have sensible conversations at the Commission and go, well, we're all public servants here. Come on, we need to rationalise what we do and make it clear. What the public servants are doing with sometimes is legislation that's somewhat difficult to interpret, and that's their complexity. But everybody has a complexity, which, if you lift up, can still be explained in a more simple way.
The targeting of women, Māori and Pacifica, how will that happen?
That will happen through projects. So part of the strategy, the difference between this strategy and the last one is that we have goals and objectives and targets, which is really important because I want to be able to sit down in 3 years' time and go, what worked, most importantly, what didn't work and why not, and what will we do next? That will be the mark of a good strategy. But focusing on the stuff that doesn't work is just as valuable as the stuff that works, you know. So the projects we're looking at, some will emerge over time. The initial ones are my favourite ones, where I've laid down a little bit of challenge to the sector, the financial services sector. And the Financial Services Council has cheerfully agreed to lead a significant project or piece of work focusing on women in 2021. And Women in Superannuation has immediately put up their hand and said, we want to work with you now. So, oh, that's very good. I'm not saying what the project or initiative will be. It would be completely wrong. But all I've said is it needs to be creative and interesting and innovative and looking to shift the dial. So, you know, no pressure on them. And then just as cheerfully, the New Zealand Bankers Association, which represents all the major banks, 13 of them, I think, has agreed to lead a project on Māori financial capability the following year. And I'm exceptionally excited that they've agreed to do this, and I'll be very, very interested to see how they turn up.
I'm reminded of that infamous quote relating to the telco sector. Confusion is a marketing tool, and has it been convenient for some of these financial institutions for people not to understand too much about what they're doing?
I think Not in the banking sector proper, and not in recent years, I would say. I think some of the less reputable financial advice people, yes, and those are the people that the government's been targeting, of course, with new legislation, cracking down on third-tier lenders and that kind of stuff. So there's work being done in this space. But the more we can throw light on this, and the more we can point to this and go, this is whether we get as far as saying this is a bad example and this is a good example will depend on how willing people are to work in the space.
Some of the most vulnerable will be dealing with payday lenders, will be dealing with those outside of the sector altogether. How can you reach them with at least some knowledge, even if they still are desperate enough to sign up?
By making the messages around risk really clear, by ensuring that the people, the social services people out in the sector are providing wraparound services, and by calling it out when you see it. And finally, of course, by legislation, and that's underway.
So you've only just begun work with IWI. Is there an appetite for your assistance?
There's an interest. It's less our assistance than us asking them how we can help. You know, it's a different world, and it's particularly different in the post-settlement, post-treaty world. So all iwi are thinking about the financial capability and security of their iwi members. Any solutions or advice or research or connections we can offer will be the subject of considerable discussion, I think.
What about in schools? We've just been talking about this rapid evolving dynamic we have of people with assets in this country and people without, and the gap between them is expanding at an alarming rate. And, you know, the capacity to build assets and then use assets to leverage assets is what some people have always got to do and have been able to do, and what others, if they learn about it, are able to start doing what others perhaps never can do. What level of financial literacy is being supported in schools so that people can appreciate the basics, something as basic as compounding interest, but also, as you pointed out, can understand the difference between savings and investment and assets?
Really good question. And there was such a hole in the system for probably 15 years, I think. When I went to school, we had post office savings banks, piggy banks and all that stuff. And at least we were taught about, you know, saving a regular amount and rainy day stuff. Then there was a hole for something like 20 years. And that's in effect Gen X. And I don't think it's any accident that that Gen X are the ones that have been the most deeply affected by COVID, who are highly leveraged, high debt, high consumer debt, and a number of them are in trouble. We launched Sorted in Schools 2.5 years ago. It's now in 65% of secondary schools and Kura. And that is getting, we train the teachers, we train the trainers, so that financial capability modules, and we're now on the NCA qualifications framework, are taught in schools across the curriculum. Very good start. And I would also add that there's other different initiatives out there as well, like Banker, who is talking to an app that's talking directly to kids. So the point is you come at it in a number of different ways.
Thank you. Jane Wrightson, Retirement Commissioner, Head of the Commission of Financial Capability. That strategy is being launched at Parliament today. Thank you.